This is the Krillcast Live. I am Chris, reminding you to subscribe, youtube.com/thekrillcast. And I have a host, co-host here today because we're cool like that.
That's what you want to say, Chris.
What's your name?
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Will. No, I'm just kidding. we are talking about, as you could probably guess, the PS5 Slim, what it means for Sony going forward, what it means for Xbox and Nintendo, and what it means for gaming in general. So this should be a fun podcast.
If you're it's always fun, man. It's always fun. I don't know what you're trying to say with that.
I don't know, but Rumble is still not streaming, so I'm giving it a minute to see what it's doing. Why are you not streaming, Rumble?
We're being an extremely boring initial minute of streaming.
I know. I'm sorry. I don't blame them for not wanting to watch us right now. But it's still not coming online. What the heck? Huh. Is YouTube working?
I haven't looked.
Let's see if YouTube's working. Yes, YouTube is working. I just heard myself talking.
Perfect. Then we can continue without the Rumble crap.
I don't know why Rumble's not working, though. That's freaking weird. Oh, Rumble finally figured itself out. All right, we're good on Rumble and YouTube. Sorry for the delay. Andrew, what do you think about this new machine by Sony?
Well, I think it looks nice.
I think it looks pretty clean, and it matches.
I mean, when we're talking about the new device, we should explain it a little bit to people, I think.
Well, Sony just announced yesterday. Oh, Roblox. Lovely. I hate Roblox. All right. New look for the PS5 console this holiday season. And they introduced the new PlayStation 5, also called the PlayStation 5 Slim by anybody who knows what they're talking about. But Sony's just calling it the new PS5 to confuse everybody.
But the more important thing is what, Chris? What does it come with?
It's more like what it doesn't come with. It does not come with a hard soldered drive on it.
What is the optionality that it comes with?
The digital edition and the disc edition both have the option to have a removable disc drive.
Yeah, that's pretty big. I like the versatility. It also makes it's like one step closer to a more modular console, which I'm always a fan of when it's easier to replace things on it.
Yeah, I think they should have gone with the dual disc drive setup so I could have multiple games in the console at once.
Balance it out so it's still symmetrical. It's
got two wings on it.
The big booty PS5. No, and they also released a new stand. Yeah. Vertical stand, which I mean, it's
the thing about the new stand is it works with both the new PS5 and the old PS5 for vertical.
It is nice looking, I'll give them that.
I did spend about $45 on the PS4 vertical stand because they were no longer making them when I bought mine.
Oh,
I had to buy it from a third party, so that was fun,
right?
But the thing is they have it, so this always bothers me. Marketing shows the PS5 in what position, Andrew?
Vertical.
And what stand are they shipping with it?
None.
Horizontal. Come with the horizontal stand only.
I mean, the old one, I mean, for the original one, it could be vertical or horizontal.
Correct. So the new stand is less versatile. The new stand is less versatile.
The new stand is dedicated to its one cause.
And so the vertical stand will cost you an additional $30. So if you want to look at it as... you're missing one feature, which is vertical stand. Technically, the new PS5 with the vertical stand is about $30 more expensive, but
in fairness, it's a premium stand.
Chris. You get the added versatility of removable drive, which is actually a big deal. That's a big deal.
Is that thing actually metal? That's my question.
It looks metallic, but it's actually just matte plastic. Or are you talking about the stand?
The stand.
Actually, I don't know.
That stand looks actually metal. That's
probably
why
isn't. It probably isn't.
The horizontal if it is, stand, it's worth it. That's all I'm saying.
If it's metal, it's worth it. Jeez. Yeah. We got a metal supremacist.
Hey, if you ever get bored of it as a
frisbee,
as a stand, you could sharpen it up if it's metal and make it a throwing.
I will say, whatever engineers work on these stands, Sony does build some pretty premium stands. Like the one that I got for my PS4 Pro, It actually came with multiple configurations, one for the Slim, one for the OG, and one for the PS4 Pro. Came with multiple bolts for different sized consoles. I was like, this is insane. Like, they really thought this through. It's like, when you go to attach it, it goes on one way only, depending on which console you have, and you have to insert multiple bolts so it won't come off. Right. But I will. The other thing that was nice was, once I did that, all of the loud fan noises that were going on all the time, the vibrations, they're gone, completely gone. That that stand saved my brain from headaches. So Sony does design nice stands. I'll give them that.
Let's just
$30? No.
Let's just say this: the PS5 is nice for its ability to cool itself. So they designed it perfectly.
So did I mean, Xbox is actually really well done too. Like, that's, I'm not taking anything away from Xbox with
cooling. No. You mean the little fridge? Screw that thing. I'm joking. I'm just shitting on Xbox for no reason.
Yeah, you are. I was gonna say, the cooling, Xbox has been proven in this generation to actually cool better than the PlayStation.
That's because it's designed to be a fridge, a little fridge.
Here's the thing. Like, when you design a square box, it's much easier to design cooling than when you design whatever this is supposed to be.
The Blade Runner, obviously.
I mean, they do call the sides of this thing a blade, right? So they sell blades.
I still have to consider buying the different color panels for it. Because
see, I just wish that they would sell these with different colors in the box, so I don't have to waste plastic time and money to replace the sides. Now, I'm still not sold on buying a PS5 yet. I'll be honest, I'm still not. If I was going to get a PS5, I'm getting the Slim with the removable drive, because I've seen enough PS4s have failed Blu-ray drives.
You know what happens? It makes sense. It makes
sense. You know what happens when your Blu-ray drive fails?
I had a a PS3 that had their Blu-ray disc drive get all destroyed. So
what happens when that happens?
Destroys your disc.
No, not only that, but what happens when when the Blu-ray drive fails on a PS4?
I don't know, on a PS4. Oh, isn't it dead altogether?
It's dead in the water. It will not work anymore. So the PS4, so this is like something people don't realize. Everybody flipped out about the CMOS battery situation, and Sony was like, okay, let's throw a Band-Aid on it. And so basically what they did, from what I can tell logically, is they changed the licensing rights check from the CMOS battery and PSN to the Blu-ray drive and PSN. Guess what has a higher failure rate than a CMOS battery? Blu-ray drive. So everybody flipped out. Sony fixed it by changing how the copyright's checked. And now everybody's screwed because the Blu-ray drive fails much worse. Well, the other thing is that the Blu-ray drives they used, and I'm sure they fixed this on the PS5, the Blu-ray drives they use can only be overwritten so many times with their firmware, and Blu-ray licensing changes sporadically. So they have to get wiped with new firmware all the time.
Right.
And they only have so many rewrites before they fail.
Well, I am not buying any new games for a PS4. So,
well, if you did, they'd work on your PS5.
I just think that the PS5 is good so far. Personal
opinion. PS5 is just the best PS4 ever made. And that's not really a joke.
I'm not gonna lie, though, I do wish that they would come out with some games that I care more about than they have. So
you mean you don't want another Last of Us reboot?
No, I don't. And I also, this might be controversial, I don't care about God of War. So
yeah, I've had multiple God of War games. I don't care for the new God of War. I like the old God of War.
Just seems like they won't let it die.
Seems like they said, hey, Assassin's Creed looks nice. Let's make God of War into Assassin's
Creed. That's what I'm saying. They don't know how to let a series die. But in saying that, I really wish they would just make a new Infamous game. That's all I want.
They gotta end the Ghost of Tsushima to do that.
So I'm okay with it. They made one game. Save it. Just save it for a while.
I heard they're going to make the next one have a lead female protagonist.
That's fine. I'm okay with it.
I'm talking about for Tsushima. Ghost of Tsushima.
I am okay with it.
So here's the question for you. Do you think that the The parkour mechanics of Infamous translated well into Ghost of Tsushima or no?
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, then I guess we could technically have the Samurai Infamous game within a sequel.
I mean, they're just going to make a Deadpool version of Infamous where he uses, where instead he's using swords and stuff. Like,
oh, for the samurai. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah.
No, it's going to be a samurai in an Infamous game, and his superpower is going to involve swords. That's all it's going to be.
So here's what I want to talk about with given the new PS5 Slim.
Yeah.
Which company do you think right now is doing the most for game preservation? Because prior to this, I would have probably said Xbox, but now that we have the leak of the all-digital Xbox, I don't think they are.
I don't know why you would have ever said Xbox because...
Because of the backwards compatibility program.
No, but I don't care.
I'm talking about preservation.
No, but I'm saying it's a gimmick. It's all a gimmick. All of it's a gimmick.
It's a gimmick that functions to allow you to play your old games. So while, yes, I agree with you that for most people, backwards compatibility does not matter.
Actually, I just thought of something that they could do with this now, since they've already opened the Pandora's box of a
removable drive.
Yeah, they could make it where you could probably emulate any game you want more easily with the old discs if they really wanted to.
By having multiple drives?
If they gave you an option to replace the drive in the future with something that had full backwards compatibility, like...
Well, the thing that they would need to do, and the thing that they don't like doing, is include multiple laser settings, because the PS1 disc is so hard to read with new technology. It's actually one of the reasons why Xbox has been more easily able to do backwards compatibility, is because Xbox started with DVDs.
Yeah,
PlayStation started with CDs.
I guess my point is that this actually gives them the option to explore a premium
disc drive.
Disc drive.
But the other thing you have to keep
in mind, I'm not saying it has to be cheap. I'm just saying they could release one that basically promises full backwards compatibility for eternity, and it would probably sell enough to make it worth it.
Have like the PlayStation Premium Retro Disc Drive.
Yeah.
Something like that. I could see that selling well. The main thing that they've not been able to nail yet is PS3 emulation.
Yeah.
Now, do I think the PS5 can probably do it?
In general, that's the problem.
PS3 is what?
A mess in general.
My PS3 is...
Although I loved my PS3, but it was a mess when it came to just how it... Yeah.
The fact that it had hardware in it that could run PS1 and PS2 was pretty awesome, especially considering how hard it is to emulate the PS2. So it was like, nah, we'll just put hardware
in it. Can we just remember how expensive that thing was, though?
$600.
Like, $600 back then.
2006 money.
Yeah, think of that with inflation. What is that? Now I'm curious.
I don't know. I think I remember... Well, the thing to remember is that Sony lost money on every console sold in the beginning.
I know, man. But
like, those things are like $900.
I know. Think of that, though. Think of how expensive that console was back then. And now look at how cheap a PS5 is today with inflation.
Well, it's not cheap.
With inflation considered,
it's
basically $200 from back then.
I mean, the cheapest a PlayStation on launch has ever been is $299. That was the original PlayStation in the 90s.
Okay, but I just want to point out that this PlayStation is the same price with inflation of a PS1.
It might be cheaper. Probably true.
Wait, let's... Now I need to have the... let's do the inflation calculator.
I'm going to look it up. Hold on. Cost of each... PlayStation launch adjusted for inflation. That's the top Google search. All right, let's see. Hold on, let's see. Update compared to price of our game console.
Because I want to point out too that the PS5 came out before the last batch of inflation really hit too.
Okay, let's see here. So the Wii launched in 2006 at $249. It would now cost $300. Okay, so inflation isn't as much as we thought.
No, they lied. They're so full of shit.
And this article's from 2020.
No, they're full of crap, man. They're
all right, let's see. Let's see. Hold on. Let's see what our prices is.
They're using the 2%.
Look. 1972 to now has increased by 600%. So that's the Magnavox Odyssey. Let's see. The NES in 1985 was $200. Adjusted for today, an NES would cost the same as a PS5.
Yeah, man.
Think about that. That's sad. All right. The Super Nintendo was $199.91. Adjusted for inflation would be almost $400. So about double.
Okay.
The original PlayStation. Yes, you're right. It was $299 at launch, and it would cost the same amount of money as a PS5 adjusted. This is 2020, so we're still.
And I don't necessarily. Behind. Okay, that's 2020, so that's before the massive inflation.
It is, yeah.
Okay, so it
costs. PS2 was even the PS2 is not far off. Look, $446.
No, that's the all digital version right now.
Wait, I want to see the PS3. Oh yeah, PS3 was $500 or $600 adjusted for inflation, $657.75.
Dude, okay, that's probably closer to $900 right now, given
the considering that they lost like $300. They lost like $300 per PS3 sold.
Okay, just Google real quick how much inflation has been since 2020. What percent?
All right, let's see. All right, Google. Let's see inflation calculator. Here, I'll just do this on the fly. We'll just do it on the fly. All right. I've got the inflation calculator open.
Okay.
Let's see. Inflation calculator. All right. Which one do we want to check first?
Just do PS1.
Okay. PS1 would be, what year is that? That is, I got to go back. 95. Okay. 1995. And we're saying the price cost, it was $299.
Yeah.
Calculate. All right, let's see. So it would be $602.
Yeah, told you.
All right, well, let's see what the PS2 is, says. PS2 is also the same price, $299.
Yeah, 5 years later.
$533. So it's still more expensive. So I guess you're right. If you adjust for inflation, the PS5 is still cheaper.
Yeah, now go down to PS3.
2006. All right, let's see. 2006, and the price was, nobody bought the $499 model, or if you did, you really regretted it. It would be $912.
Told you. Told you.
It's almost double the price. You could buy a PSVR 2 and a PlayStation 5.
What about PS4 Pro?
Okay, you want to see 2016?
Yeah, let's...
Now you're just looking at two different presidencies with this inflation.
Yeah, I know. Two different presidencies, a whole new game console.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's see here. $399 was the PS4 Pro. Or no, yeah, PS4 Pro was $399.
Yeah.
That's the same price as PS5.
Same price. It's just a 3-year difference, basically. So
the Switch is probably the cheapest Nintendo console ever if you look at inflation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably by a long shot. Oh, my goodness. The Nintendo Switch Lite is probably the cheapest.
What did that PS4 console come out as?
The PS4 was the same price in 2013. So let's see. Well, let's see what the 2013 PS. Let's see. What was the Slim? When did the Slim come out? Oh, it doesn't even have it on.
It doesn't have it on the list.
Even the 2013 is about $25 more expensive. So technically, the Pro is cheaper because of when it came out.
Of course, it was cheaper. It was cheaper within just due to inflation.
So anyways, yeah. So the new PS5 Slim is, it's technically probably cheaper than the 2020 con. Let's see.
I mean, the Slim, the Slim is now how much?
Same price. It's $499.
Okay. See, that's...
With the disc drive. Okay, so technically speaking, everybody's complaining about the PS5 costing more money.
Yeah.
But due to inflation,
it's cheaper.
The PS5 at $499 in 2020 would cost you almost $600 in 2023. That's sad that we've gone up $100 since 2020.
Yeah, so let's think about that. There has been a price cut.
Technically speaking,
there's been a price cut. There, the PS5 is one of the cheapest PlayStations ever.
Yeah, technically, yes.
Technically one of the cheapest PlayStations ever, and people are still crying about price.
So technically speaking, based on inflation, the current PS5 release is cheaper than it was in 2020 inflation. And it's
one of the cheapest PlayStations ever released.
Wow. I think we learned a lot just now.
I think this is a very valuable lesson.
This is going to be a clip. This is going to be a clip that's going to say the PS5 Slim is actually cheaper. And everybody's going to get so mad at us.
It is, though. People can stop complaining. I know your wages
this whole podcast could literally just be like, inflation is cheaper now. Like, I mean,
it's kind of funny. Aren't you glad I made you look this up?
A little bit. Let's see what the Magnavox Odyssey would cost in today's money, because nobody's buying that. Somebody asked, does the PS5 Slim have a disc drive? Yes.
Technically.
Look, there's a... So for anybody that wasn't paying attention earlier, the PS5 Slim has a removable disc drive. One model, the digital edition, has the ability to add a disc drive, and it's $450. If you get the bundle with the disc drive, which is confusing why they call it a digital edition, because both of them can add the disc drive, but the one with the disc drive with it costs $500, and the disc drive on its own costs $80. So if you buy a digital edition and add a disc drive, you're losing $30.
You're gaining $30.
No. I'm saying if you buy the digital edition and then buy the disc drive separate,
you are
losing $30 extra. Yes, and the vertical stand is another $30. So it's displayed vertically on this website, and that's a lie. You are not getting the vertical stand with your purchase, no matter what you do. That's $30 more. Yeah. So if you bought a digital edition, a disc drive, and a vertical stand, you're out $560.
I think they just have the digital edition concept there, so people don't feel falsely marketed to that it's the one with the disc, you know.
The last time I listened to Tyler, the Creator, he released the song Yonkers, so that probably tells you the last time I listened to him was at least several decades ago. Anyways, so the Magnavox Odyssey was released in 1972. It cost $99 back then. Let's see what the inflation is to.
That's a lot back then.
$727.
Yeah,
buddy. Oh my.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, let's check the Intellivision, 1980.
I mean, that was cutting edge, bro. That was cutting edge.
Everybody loves the Intellivision, right? The Intellivision is amazing. All right, let's find out what inflation is. 8 years later
from that. $750. What?
$750.
No, you're wrong. Which one did you look up?
I did the wrong. No, I did it right. $299. I had it $199.
I was going to say, you're cheaper than what the chart says.
Oh my goodness. Look at this. This is so sad. You got to see this. The original Intellivision in today's money would cost you $1,114.
I mean, okay. In fairness, you start really ramping up the cost if you buy everything PlayStation. So if you start getting the VR headset and all that,
The VR is more expensive than the console itself.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're getting up there. Wait, is that was more expensive than the console paired with the VR?
Yeah, it was. 1991. Okay, let's find out Neo Geo. Neo Geo in 1991 was $649. Holy cow. I didn't realize it was that expensive. Let's find out.
Wait. Yeah, I was going to guess about there.
Wow.
Yeah, buddy.
There you go. There you go, Red.
That's how you know someone was rich back then.
And then Sean is chiming in with, I love a removable disc drive because my disc drive is usually a thing that breaks. That's what we talked about earlier, actually. I think removable disc drive is a huge feature that nobody's talking about. The only thing that I would be concerned about is that the connector to the disc drive, if you don't line it up right, I mean, you shouldn't be removing the disc drive all the time. I hope not. I mean, if you are, that's a problem. But that connector could eventually break. That's a possibility.
And we also mentioned earlier that it would be pretty nice if they eventually released more backwards compatibility with those.
We want the Sega Mega Drive with the Tower of Power.
Hey man,
what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Do you?
No.
Okay.
You want to
see the Tower of Power? I want to see something like this. Hold on. The Sega Mega Drive Tower of Power. You got to see this. This is ridiculous.
Oh no. Yeah, okay.
Oh my gosh. Oh, this is great. I love it. This is actually not the official Tower of Power, but this is hilarious. So the Tower of Power is essentially the disk drive over here. You see that?
Yeah.
Plus the 32X. And then they just added a ton of adapters on top of it to be silly. So you've got the, I don't know what this thing is. This is technically right here, I think the Sega SG adapter. And then this is like some kind of an adapter to put a Game Genie on it. So they just were adding as many adapters as possible. So yeah, we agree. The vertical stand being $30 and separate, probably a marketing ploy.
I mean, it does look nice compared to the previous stand, so I don't know what to say.
Now, if I end up getting, I agree with Demicrow, if I end up getting a PS5, I'm definitely going to get the Slim. But I have yet to see a reason to get one. There's no Infamous on it yet.
There's no exclusive
RPGs I care about.
They need Infamous.
Infamous would be great.
But going back to your original question about who's been doing more for gamers.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And preservation. We got sidetracked on this inflation quest.
Well, the inflation is a preservation thing because the more things get expensive, the more preservation you want with backwards compatibility, right? Right. No, so, like, for example, Nintendo giving you, for $50 a year, you get access to an ever-growing library of old games. It's kind of a worthwhile service at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Game Pass for retro.
There's some pretty expensive consoles back in the day. Holy shit. But
yeah, the 3DO, probably the most expensive game released in the 90s.
I bet that's pretty expensive with
info. Although they don't have the Apple Pippin on here, and I think that one was like $600 as well.
The question though about who has done more, I would say clearly Sony.
With the disc drive continuing on, I would agree. But unfortunately, though, even with the disc drive, the base Xbox Series X has more backwards compatibility than even the new PlayStation.
Yeah, but okay, that's not Nintendo intentionally. Not Nintendo. That's not Xbox and Microsoft intentionally trying to be good to gamers. That's trying to get you in the door while they start doing the sleight of hand to get you into Game Pass where you never own a game again.
Andrew thinks it's Sony. What a surprise.
Of course, man.
I will say Nintendo does nothing for preservation, period. Yeah. Like Nintendo is the worst. Like when it comes to their service is nice. I like their service. There's zero preservation going on there.
Nintendo has always been very quick to be like, hey, we just changed the whole medium of games completely. Have fun buying.
Well, not only that, but when you go from the Wii to the Wii U, mm-hmm. you had like 1 year of allowance to transfer your digital games from the Wii to the Wii U. And then when you go from the Wii U to the Switch, you can't even move your games. So,
They usually
give you like one generation of backwards compatibility. Yeah. And then they cut it.
Basically. But as far as Xbox, I know the backwards compatibility with their disk drive and everything, fine. It's easier.
That's probably the biggest contribution that Xbox has ever given to backwards compatibility and preservation. That's literally it.
Yeah, but I mean, like we said earlier, it's easier for them versus Sony, just given the
disc always drive been disc media and it's been DVD or above. Yes, because DVDs are still playable on every modern console except for the Switch.
But the issue isn't that aspect, right? It's what they're doing with Game Pass. They're making it now where they're just trying to make you, they're farming you as a subscriber, and there's no intention of ever having it where you go buy the physical disc or go buy a used disc from GameStop ever again. They just want to get that monthly fee from you for the rest of your life. So I don't know. I'm cynical when it comes to that, because they'll be able to take any game they want off whenever they want to.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. One of the things that Nintendo's been doing really poorly this generation is like limited releases. Mm. They've done it so with digital things. So imagine there's this game you like a lot and you don't have a Switch right now. And they're just like, all right, $5, we'll release this game from the 90s. And it's only going to be on the eShop for like 6 months.
Hey, if this is a comment about Nintendo, I agree. They haven't been creative for a long time.
That's actually what Andrew was saying last week with Nintendo laziness.
last week, when we talked about
this, two weeks ago,
I mean, Nintendo just hasn't released a new character in forever that is at all compelling. The most recent game they've made that has had enough success to get the characters into Smash Bros. Is the, you know, what is it called? The Squid, what is that game? Splatoon.
Splatoon. I'm sorry. I was like, what are you talking
about? The Squid People. And they're shallow. Shallow as crap, man. So when it comes to Nintendo's creativity, I'm just...
Okay, so here's the deal. I don't think any single developer first party has knocked it out of the park this generation with gaming.
Yeah, no, they haven't. I think
gaming has gotten extreme, like as a whole, gaming has gotten so far up the, you know what, of the live service crap that we really need a course correction. And we need some new creativity and creative minds in the industry to fix this. Now, Sony still puts out like these AAA, what I would consider almost like movie games, like with Uncharted,
Ghost of Tsushima,
the Spider-Man games. And I don't even care that games are like 15 hours. Like, great, 15 hours, I can get through it. That's how I think. I know that not everybody has the mind of a dad these days, but
Chris, I'm just going to say this. When it comes to this generation of games so far, it's not even the live service thing that's a problem. It's the copy, paste, repeat of the same framework for every game that they make. Just the sequels, the constant sequels. I'm sick of sequels. When are you going to just make another IP, recycle it? Yeah, you can make a sequel. Make it like once every 4 years. Don't make it a yearly damn thing. Don't even make it 2 years. I want some, you know.
I'd be willing to pay. Let me put it this way. If we got games without microtransactions that were compelling and good, and even if they were 20 hours, I'd still be willing to pay more money for that than any live service game currently on the market.
Okay. We've been doing a lot of reading lately.
Yeah.
I like the thing that makes the Mario games and everything good is they had fun gameplay, right? Mm-hmm. And they had a good little story narrative. And it was compelling.
Which series?
Just Nintendo. Think of Nintendo and
Nintendo IPs games, generally have a good story.
They have a good story, right? That's what made them investable. That's what made it where everyone's like, oh, now you're bringing all these characters together for Smash and Mario Kart, and we love this.
I mean, there's three reasons why Nintendo is successful this generation, and none of them are none of them are for wildly good hardware. Zero. That's definitely not the reason. There's three reasons: nostalgia, fun gameplay, and good writing. And the fun gameplay has to do with portability too.
Okay, but the writing is not there lately.
I mean, have you seen the Princess Peach game? That's actually pretty creative.
Is it? I actually haven't seen that one, but it's still Princess Peach. They don't come out with a new character.
Yeah, but Princess Peach doesn't usually get her own games. Actually,
fair enough.
So the Princess Peach game that they came up with is like almost like a storybook. Basically, the idea is in each different, like, let's say box or diorama, she wears a different costume, has a different set of abilities. And so like she goes from different, like one place she's a detective. Mm-hmm. The next place she's like a cook. And the next place she's this. So like the gameplay changes with each scene. It's pretty neat, actually.
I'll be honest. I'm
not interested in the game personally, but I thought it was cool.
Yeah. I miss the PlayStation 2 and early PlayStation 3 games. The style.
And to another degree, the early Xbox 360 games, like Dead Rising, that's where that comes from. I love that series.
But that's the same generation, I'm saying. Like, the same generation.
Okay.
When you
say early PS3 and PS2, I'm like, okay, so just Sony or?
No, I'm literally I'm only talking about that generation, that era of all. Like, it's.
You're talking about the seventh generation of gaming systems and the late sixth generation.
Yeah.
So PS2 is like sixth.
Okay, I mean, PS3 let's think of it. You got Spiral, Ratchet and Clank, Crash Bandicoot.
All of you mean a Zelda Mario game that lets us play as Zelda or Princess Peach? Because I don't think you... I hope you mean Zelda. I'm pretty sure that's what you mean.
But yeah, I'm just saying, I think back then games were better.
I
as
think
far
that,
as story goes.
I think devs were more creative.
Yeah.
Because
okay, Infamous. Think of the Infamous story arc. That was good storytelling.
Honestly, here's something that people forget. When you have a limited space to work in, mm-hmm. you have to get way more creative than when you have a wide open space to work in.
Right. Yeah.
Because, and that's always what they say, like there's this whole study on an analysis of freedom. When mm-hmm. you have freedom within a set of rules, you're more creative about what you do than when you have freedom with no rules.
Right. That makes sense to me, at least. I mean, okay.
I mean, there's like a whole philosophical part to that, but it's interesting.
No, it's true. I kind of liked the older Zelda games over Breath of the Wild. So that's
plus, when you have funny. Less controls available to you to use, you have to get more creative with the controls too. That's why, like, the NES is like timeless because yeah. anybody can pick up an NES with like what 5 buttons total, mm-hmm. and there's something you can figure out on there.
Yeah. No, it's just we're beyond that era though, where it's good story writing, which is why it's depressing.
Chris is against freedom, confirmed.
He kind of is sometimes.
Oh man, no, it like think about it though. If you had unlimited choices, you could do anything you want. Period. No repercussions whatsoever. Like the hardware is not going to slow down.
Well, okay, it's not that, Chris. That's not the problem. It's the lack of adversity. It's
yes,
their lack
when
of
you
adversity
have to overcome challenges.
Problem.
When you have to overcome a challenge, you're more creative.
Yeah, it's not about lack of freedom. It's lack of adversity. That's why you never meet a good artist who is never starving. Okay, like just, let's be real here.
Starving artists tend to produce the best art. That is
yes, the heart.
Not that I want people starving.
Hey, okay. If we didn't have adversity, we wouldn't have Adele. Okay, heartbreak created her.
I agree with the sentiment. Red says, I agree with the sentiment, just messing around. Speaking of Red, when's your next video game stuff coming out? You doing any more reviews or what, man? I want to see some more colors of gaming content. All right. I agree that a game with you playing as Zelda, or maybe even like, honestly, I've been saying this forever. The next Zelda game they should do is essentially a remake of Ocarina of Time, but you play as Zelda / Sheik. And since there's the time traveling aspect of it, there's literally no way you can break the current canon of Zelda. There's so many time splits, like who cares? So just like make a side game where you play as Sheik or Zelda in Ocarina of Time, make it HD.
Can I have the controversial take here?
Go ahead.
Can we just get a new IP that's not Zelda rehashed for the 100th time? Just question.
Well, you know, you asked this, but have you presented any ideas?
Why would I give away my ideas? I have ideas. We've discussed some of those ideas in the past, but no, I'm not going to just give them away for free.
All right. Well, shout out to Colors Gaming. He says more reviews are coming. I'm looking forward to it. I do think that you could easily take Ocarina of Time and make Zelda the main character where she's playing as Sheik in the future. And like, how does she end up getting Link all the things he needs? That would be a whole side quest game. You could call it like Ocarina of Time Side Quest HD. I don't know. Whatever. It would work. I no longer agree with Andrew.
Sean, do you just not want new IP? You're willing to throw away all new IP.
I think the problem, Andrew,
remake
Andrew, when we ask for new IP all the time, that's how we get these garbage live service games.
No, that's not how you get garbage live service.
I would rather them bring back an old IP out of print for like several decades.
Yeah, okay, that too. You're talking to the person here who
wants Meg.
Who constantly bitches about how EA has about 10 IPs on the shelf from the PlayStation 3 era that they haven't dusted off in ages and are fantastic games. We're talking Mercenaries, Army of Two. The list goes on and on. They haven't made an effing Bad Company since the PS3. Okay. Like,
and I'm looking at my Bad Company on the shelf over there.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, you're talking to somebody who's like, okay, yeah, you're going to bring back an IP from like three consoles ago. I'm all for it. If you already released a game for the current console with that IP, STFU. No more ideas from you. That's just, I would fire that person in 2 seconds.
And meanwhile, they announced Metroid Prime 4 as a launch title for Nintendo Switch, and it's still not out. And Metroid Prime 4 would be like that space shooter for Switch. And it looked good. And Metroid Prime 1 that they re-released from the GameCube era. You know, you love those GameCube re-releases, Andrew. I know they're your favorite. It looks beautiful. It is one of the best looking Switch games out there.
You touched on one of the games that I want back in the worst way. That's Meg. I want a Meg 2, and it'll never happen.
Okay, imagine this. Imagine this. The developer. What if they brought back Meg on the Switch and said, all right, but here's a special way to play it now. If you have like a whole bunch of people show up with their Switches in the same room, it'll just direct connect to all of them. No server needed.
I would do it.
That'd be pretty cool.
It's not a Nintendo game.
I know it isn't a Nintendo game. I'm just saying, like, that'd be pretty neat, wouldn't it?
Can Sony just bring back SOCOM, too? Because we've gotten away from tactical shooters.
SOCOM is probably... So, Mario & Rabbids, have you played that?
I have it. I haven't actually played it, though.
It's very much SOCOM with Mario.
Is it?
I think you'd probably like it.
I'm just saying, we got rid of the tactical shooter. I know maybe this might be controversial and... take, but maybe Gen Z's not up for that kind of challenge.
No, honestly, I think that's why we've lost so many turn-based or time-based games like that, is because Gen Z
time-based or anything.
Okay, but it is very much a like
thinking game.
It's a thinking and time, like not time as in like, you know, time-based, but like you're timing out your moves,
right?
Thinking strategically.
You gotta work with strategy. You,
strategy and turn-based games are dying with Gen Z, just flat out. So, like, if there's not enough
dopamine hits.
Yeah, I've always liked like that long effort games. Like that's one of the reasons why I like Fire Emblem, because it's such a nice payoff when you've spent an hour and a half devising moves on a board to win the game finally.
People
are unwilling to wait for those dopamine hits.
Call of Duty ruins shooters. I know it helps create shooters.
I like Call of Duty, OG Call of Duty anyways.
Yeah, but since Modern Warfare 2, it's just gotten downhill.
All right, let me ask you this, Andrew, because this is going to be a clip. Definitely going to be a clip.
Okay.
There is talk now that the Nintendo Switch 2 will not have backwards compatibility.
I'm not going to speak.
Do you care?
Yes, that actually pisses me off extremely.
Yeah, yeah. I flat out won't buy the new Switch for a while.
Yeah, it makes me want to buy a new one just to smash it.
Yeah, but then you're still making money for Nintendo.
I know. That's the quandary I'm in.
Okay, so what if they do this? What if they say, all right, backwards compatibility only for digital games?
No, I'm still pissed.
How mad would you be?
Are they completely eliminating the cartridge for a new media?
I don't know. Nobody knows the answer to that. But there's been several outlets that have come out and said, backwards compatibility is not that big of a deal. And I'm like, yes, it freaking is, dude.
For that, it is. It will. Okay. Let me just put it in this context. I already have a Switch. All right. I already have one. How are they going to make this new Switch so much better? They don't release new effing IP. So why do I care if I buy the new one? I have a recently up-to-date Nintendo game that has all of the cart and Smash and game, all those games that I give a crap about for a party game. I don't need to buy the new one. And I'll do exactly what I did when I had a Game Boy Advance and they came out with the effing 3DS, not 3DS, just the DS in general, okay?
You won't buy it.
I won't effing buy it, because you can't just keep changing the effing media on me so that it's not backwards effing compatible anymore.
Well, the DS did have backwards
compatibility. I don't care. They just released a whole new effing thing so quickly, and the writing was on the wall for changing the media again, and I'm just sick of it. Nintendo pisses me off with their release cycle. Every effing time.
So here's the thing. Like, when people were thinking about this, they're like, well, wait a second. What did they do from the Wii U to the Switch? Well, they had discs on the Wii U.
Yeah.
And then they released the Switch. And guess what they did? They ported every Wii U game, basically, except for a couple that I have over here, from the Wii U to the Switch and put it on a cartridge and sold them again.
I know. And I'm that's the thing about Nintendo.
Well, you're lucky you didn't have a Wii U.
I didn't. I took a hiatus from buying the consoles because of that type of behavior. I can't stress it enough. It's one of the biggest annoyances I have with Nintendo.
Yeah, I want to find the article because the article title on its own pissed me off. Give me 1 second.
But here's the thing. For the upgrading the Switch to a Switch 2, there's literally no reason to move away from the cartridges. There better be a damn good reason, and it must be significantly better for all third-party games, or I'm not going to buy it.
Oh, here it is. This article pissed everyone off. You ready for this? Nintendo Life got it way wrong. They said Switch 2 doesn't really need backwards compatibility as much as we all want it. Oh, I saw this
article. Who is Gavin Lane, and why does he do drugs? Where was he at? An opium den, smoking a pipe, and writing this? Because it's not.
Logical. I like how he starts off with first things first. I would love Switch 2 to be backwards compatibility. I'm like, dude, you're a straight up. Like, look, you know what they call people that constantly defend things? They call that an apologist. No, this guy is a Nintendo corporate apologist. Like, we want Nintendo to still exist, so we're just going to apologize ahead of time just in case they screw this up this bad. Like, that's basically what this article is. Like, do I think Nintendo will fail as a company if they cut backwards compatibility in the Switch 2? No, but I won't buy it.
Dude, no. I think not having backwards compatibility after you just got people to move over to the Switch is a terrible mistake. It would be like the biggest mistake ever.
Find him in the opium den, Andrew.
I'm just saying, like, this is the worst take ever because it would potentially be catastrophic. Because think of who buys this console. Like,
do you know why Nintendo's thinking this way, though? Kids, bro. Do you know why Nintendo's thinking this way? I can tell you exactly why they might be thinking this way.
Wait, though. Let me explain one thing real quick. They're not realizing we're going into a time where money will be much tighter, right? If parents realize they have to buy all the same effing games again for their kids when they get the Switch 2, they're not going to buy the mother effer. They're just not. Because it feels like a total disrespect, backstabby move by Nintendo to be a money-grabbing hoe. So they've done it to me in the past. I've been enraged. I took a hiatus from buying their products for many years. Okay?
It will happen again. To Gryffindor.
It will happen again to me if they do this with the Switch. There's no reason to take one console and then completely change the medium again. At least with the Wii U, they kept the discs.
So from Wii to Wii U, you could still use every accessory.
Yeah.
Every last thing worked from the Wii to the Wii U. The discs all worked. The peripherals all worked. Everything that was compatible with the Wii was compatible with the Wii U.
That's how everything. That's how they got the reputation of being the family-friendly console.
The biggest mistake with Wii U is marketing.
Yeah, but that's
because everybody thought the Wii U was just a Wii.
But the way they got the reputation as being family-friendly has always been that they have taken a nice little hiatus of changing that medium from time to time to make it where you could keep buying everything the same. Like the upgrade never changed medium.
Backwards compatibility should be set in law. So here's what I think they need to do. Okay. The Switch is wildly popular. If you immediately just cut compatibility with the current gen, with the next gen, and like do a full blown, like, nope. That's going to screw things up. What they should do is pull what they did with from the DS to the 3DS. They made a slight modification to the new cartridges so that no parent would accidentally buy a 3DS cartridge and then put it in the DS and it wouldn't work. Basically, they added a little nub to the side of every 3DS cartridge. So if you try to put it in a DS, it wouldn't fit. But that nub would not prevent you from using the old carts. in the new model. So that every DS cart was fully compatible with 3DS.
Yeah, and it's no different than the Game Boy to Game Boy Advance.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Every cart that exists and works in the current Switch should just be plug and play in the new one. Unless no, they remove cart media altogether.
If they don't do that, if they don't do, like, this is the first time that I've ever heard of Nintendo looking to screw the previous generation when they're just doing it, putting an F and 2 on the end of the name, right?
Now, it makes it did make sense going from the Wii U to the Switch. It made sense. You can't put disc media on a portable device.
Okay, but not just that.
That made sense.
It was a complete redo of the console.
It was.
Complete redo. It's not like you're going from the Game Boy Color, well, the Game Boy to Game Boy Color to Game Boy Advance.
Where everything still works.
Everything still works. Then you go from Game Boy to Game Boy, the DS, right?
Yeah.
You said that still worked in the beginning too, right? For right. The transition.
At the very least, it should be backwards compatible in the transition. The first Switch 2 that releases should have backwards compatibility at least for a period of time. And then maybe they release a slimmer, lighter model.
Or whatever, later. Yeah.
And then maybe then they cut compatibility. But in the meantime, there needs to be some kind of...
It can't be called a Switch 2, though, if it eliminates the Switch games from...
I think they're going to call it the Hinge. I don't think it'll be the Switch. I think it'll be the Hinge. It'll be a dual screen console.
Oh, F them if they do that. I'm gonna be well, so then annoyed.
You could still use every current cart you have. You just be on one screen. And then the guess what? I think it'll be the Hinge. I think they'll have a dual screen console again.
What do you mean by dual screen?
So I think what they do is they hide the second screen behind the first screen. And some games will use both. Some games will use one. But then you can easily.
I hate that folding screen thing, man. I'm not gonna.
No. Two screens, just two separate screens, not a folding screen. That's a completely different.
That's gonna be stupid. If that's what they do, that's the dumbest. No. That's so. Dumb.
I'm just trying. I had this concept back when they were originally announcing the Switch.
No, that'd be so stupid. There's no way they do that. They'd be more likely to just release an iPad and call it a Nintendo device.
No, honestly, if they wanted to do that, they could just do, like, I don't think Nintendo's going to do this, but they could easily just say, all right, your current Joy-Cons work, get a new tablet.
I'm just waiting for Nintendo to just say, hey, we're releasing a Nintendo cell phone.
You know, they talked about that back in the day. Back when Nokia did the N-Gage, there was talk of a Nintendo cell phone, and then they just never did it.
You know, okay, this might sound controversial. But if Nintendo decided to just go all digital, I might be okay with it.
I still think...
and I say that only because they already have released the same effing games about 20 times already. And if I want to get the physical media, I already have it. So I don't know. At this point, what do I lose by them just going full digital, except for the inability of them to screw me over on changing the backwards compatibility going forward?
I don't know. There's something nostalgic about having physical media.
I understand.
And the thing is, Nintendo saves a lot of money up front by not having to have huge onboard storage.
I understand. I'm just saying.
They end up... here's why Nintendo is stuck on physical media. People don't seem to understand this. The internal storage on every Switch model is super, super cheap. Okay. And you expand that with an SD card, also super, super cheap. Now, in order to get big games on the Switch without having to expand the internal storage, they sell you a very expensive cart and they make their money back because guess who produces the carts for Nintendo? Nintendo does.
Hey, Chris, I understand.
I know you do, but not everybody listening does.
I know. I understand everything you're saying. I'm just telling you, it's getting really hard to sit down with how often Nintendo screws me.
Oh, man. But having fast flash memory as a removable cartridge for each game is literally the cheapest business strategy Nintendo could have come up with.
I'm just... This is like maybe the most enraging news you have ever dropped on me without me ever reading it beforehand.
I thought about telling you ahead of time, and I was like, no, I'm just gonna drop this.
You wanted to get this reaction.
I wanted your reaction cold because I saw this a while ago, and I was like, oh man. All right, last thing I want to talk about. Quick soapbox on this one. Let's talk about what the gaming industry will look like with all these new refreshes. Okay, so we know Nintendo might or might not have backwards compatibility with a new Switch, but that's probably coming either end of 2024 or end of 2025 or start of 2025. I mean, so within the next 2 years, we will have a new Switch. PS5 is building the Slim with removable disc drive, which I love that idea, honestly. And Xbox is building a trash can with no disc drive.
Game Pass machine. That's all it is.
So Xbox is screwing all physical media owners, mm-hmm. and they're not releasing a new disc drive model. I think it's a mistake. I think if they don't release some kind of add-on to do the digital media, especially with a freaking round, you have a disc-shaped console that doesn't use discs. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Anyways.
It's very intentional. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, it is. It definitely is. But long story short, I think that if Nintendo screws backwards compatibility and Xbox doesn't release a new disc drive, I think Sony is doing the most for game preservation at this point. Sadly enough, I think they are.
Honestly, I really hope they do release a special disc drive that allows more backwards compatibility, though. I think that would be a massive money shot for them.
Especially, I mean, imagine if they released a PS5 with a retro disc drive.
Well, what I'm saying is the overall releases has been a bit lackluster for the past couple of years. So in my humble opinion, they would hit a home run if they actually dropped something like that to get people to go back to the old games.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Right? It would make a lot of sense. Takes very little creative effort to do it.
Yeah, and I think it'd be a huge win for Sony because of their massive back catalog.
Exactly.
Now they are. They've been trying for a very long time now to build a service like what Nintendo has with their retro games catalog, and they haven't successfully done it. And I think the biggest reason why Nintendo has successfully done it is because how big of those files do you think there are for the old Nintendo consoles that they have in their emulation service? Mm-hmm. They're like this big. When you compare it to modern sort of N64 games, the maximum size I've seen is like 64 megs. Like, that's nothing. So to include all of Nintendo's old games, which are wildly fun and super simple, costs them like no server storage whatsoever. It's like none.
Mm-hmm.
And emulation has come a long way in the years since Nintendo released those consoles. So like for Nintendo, there is zero risk and huge reward for including that. For Sony, emulation is a little more complex and complicated, yeah, and difficult. And so for them to master this, it's going to take them a lot more work than Nintendo.
Mm-hmm. That's why they just need to make it where they can physically play the games if you can get them.
What they would need to do what you're saying, is include chips in the disc drive for the consoles that you're trying to play.
Yeah.
And honestly, that would be pretty neat if they sold like a PS1, PS2 disc drive for the PS5. That because I can't imagine producing a chip that could run the PS2 at this point on a disc drive would be that hard.
It can't be. It really can't be. And it probably would not cost them that much, but they can charge a decent penny for it still. And I'd be okay with that. I would be okay with that.
I'm sure it'd be at least $100.
I mean, I would be okay with that though. I'm not
but $100 to play every PS1 and PS2 discs on HD.
And if you can do PS3 as well.
I think the PS3 would be a little, they could probably do it with
emulation. If you could do it, because the PS3 has some huge, massive gems in it, Chris.
I agree with you. Old Infamous games.
Like the old Dragon Age game. I'm just throwing it out there that I think it would be totally worth at least $100. I'd be willing to go up to $150 to get access to those old consoles again. Heck yeah.
To play your discs, yeah.
Your old discs from that, yeah. 100%.
Sony would get so much love. Even if it was, let's just put it this way. Even if they sold you a disc drive for every retro, like if the PS5 had a disc drive that could play PS3 games, people would be willing to go $150, $200 for that disc drive. because you get modern console standards on a PS3 game and it looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I got my PS3 that played PS2 discs, I started putting in all of my PS2 games. I don't have that many, but I started putting them all in there because I had a PS2 at the time and a PS3. And I put them in each to compare the quality of image, and there was no comparison. PS3 mm-hmm. just flat out looked better.
Yeah.
So like, if you imagine getting that upgrade from the PS3 to the PS5, mm-hmm. as far as hardware goes, and you're talking like everything's going to look better.
There's too many good games from that era. That's the reason I would say it would be such a good win for gamers.
Tower of Power for the PS5.
Honestly, they could make the big booty PS5 Slim with that. If they made it where there was a second disc drive that had all backwards compatibility on the opposite side, I would buy that symmetry. Heck yeah, I would buy that symmetry.
What if they put the disc drive on the top half?
I'd be so pissed. The big bitty PS5 instead of the big Benda.
Yeah, or they put it on the opposite side. It makes like an X shape, like disc drives.
Going the Elon route, I see. Making everything an X.
Oh man, that'd be hilarious. You get four disc drives: PS1, PS2, PS3, PS4, and 5.
That looks like one of the spaceships.
It's like a butterfly. It's like a butterfly.
That are one of the spaceships from EVE Online. Sheesh.
And then on top, they put the head of the butterfly and it plays PSP discs.
Where's the Vita going?
They just put a random SD card slot on the top somewhere.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness. There was talk at one point in time of an add-on for the PS4 that would put, you could put PS Vita carts in. Then they released the PSTV instead.
Here's the thing. If Nintendo F's up the Switch 2 bad enough with that, Sony should really consider a new handheld.
Well, did you see the handheld they're releasing?
Sony?
Yeah, you didn't see it?
No, I didn't.
Oh god, it's terrible. It's the worst.
What are they releasing now?
You gotta see
it. I might have seen it actually, but
PS5 remote play handheld.
Oh, that stupid shit.
It looks terrible. It's $200 and it's not worth $200, honestly. Yeah, that's it right
there.
Oh,
that's an official thing?
Yeah, it's a real thing. You didn't know that was real?
No.
It looks like trash. It's like they split the controller with a screen.
I didn't realize that was a real effing thing.
I didn't think it was either.
Those earbuds look nice.
I mean, that thing looks like I'm going to break it the first time I pick it up.
Is the screen at least nice?
Yeah, it's a nice screen.
I mean, maybe.
It's a remote play device though. It's like a Vita without games. Now it has its own special wireless connection.
So it has no native games. It's purely for streaming, right?
Zero.
That is, you know what though? That's a feeler. That right there, sir, is a feeler where they've learned their lessons a little bit. I'll tell you why. The Vita's controls sucked, and I will go to my death telling you that you are an idiot if you think that that thing was good for controls. They have learned everything by having the both triggers in what looked to be actually usable.
Andrew, I got to ask you a question, though.
What?
Where's the touchpad?
Fuck the touchpad.
I'm asking this as a sincere question. Where's the touchpad?
What are you talking about?
The middle of the PS5 controller. Where is it?
You're talking about the touch screen? Is that not a touch screen?
I'm assuming it has to be, but imagine you have to touch that whole big area to make up for the fact that it doesn't have the little touch sensitive part of the PS5 controller.
Who cares? Who actually uses that piece of shit? name one game that uses that.
We still have some old school.
Hey man,
PS5 marketing here.
Those earbuds actually look kind of cool.
No, actually Sony bought. I don't know if you know this, but Sony bought an extremely high end audio company.
Oh, really?
And they're using them to produce really expensive, really nice. Or not really expensive.
Wait, but how
really
expensive are those earbuds?
Actually, the headphones are cheaper than the earbuds. I'm trying to remember what the prices were.
Here we go. Wait, one second. Colors of Gaming. The Vita had a lot of potential. I purchased it day one, pre-ordered that bitch. Okay. I was very excited to get a Vita. I loved my Vita for a couple of games, except for the fact that I hated the controls a lot when it came to the concept of shooters. I had to use the touchpad on the back for certain controls, and I despised it with a burning passion. It caused me to not want to play it. The fact that even Chris, one of the most devout Vita fans on the planet, has to have an accessory when he plays it.
Remote play only. I only need
no,
it for remote.
You have no, but you have an accessory controller thing that you click it into.
Yeah, I have a case that has extra nice controls for it.
Yes. Yeah. The fact that one of those is needed and someone who likes the Vita a lot feels it's necessary to have one.
Hey, I want to tell you real quick though. You were asking about prices. So the headphones for the PS5 are 150. That's the headphones. The earbuds, the things like AirPods, are 200.
That's kind of cool.
So these are 200.
They look nice.
These are 150. I'd rather get that if I was gonna buy something. I wouldn't get these. I had the PS3 Bluetooth headset that was like $75.
Well, what's the charge on these things? And what's the sound quality?
I mean, how long they're gonna last? I mean, yeah. I'm sure the sound quality is great.
Hey man, I would buy these just to listen to music potentially.
I don't know how good they work with, you know, hooking them up to your phone, but it does say you can. So you can do both the phone and the PlayStation. There's something called the PlayStation Link that makes the Bluetooth work better or something. I don't know. There's like some special tech. You know how like AirPods, as soon as you open them up, like the iPhone immediately recognizes them. There's something like that with these PlayStation buds and headphones where immediately the PlayStation recognizes them, like instant pairing, which I love about my AirPods. If the AirPods didn't have that, I probably wouldn't have bought them.
I used to love that about my AirPods. Then they broke.
Yours are broken?
Yeah.
What broke about them? Mine had the mic break on my first.
Noise cancellation broke.
Broke? How do you break noise cancellation?
Ask me. The thing has a fucking rattle to it.
Oh, like something got loose inside?
Yeah.
That stinks. Anyways.
When it's noise cancellation. It has like a weird rattle thing. So it's, I don't know, stupid. Hmm.
There must be like some bracing inside of it that handles the noise cancellation or something.
Must. I don't know.
Like the white noise that
causes that. White, that. It's just weird rattle.
It must have gotten loose or something weird.
Must.
So I would say these buds and the headset look very nice. And considering that Sony bought an audio company that is literally made for audiophiles, this is probably a really good sound quality.
I mean, given the size of those Bluetooth buds, though, those things gotta have some good sound quality.
Oh, they probably have decent batteries.
I wish they showed us a picture of someone wearing them, though.
Well, you can tell based on this how big they are. The size is probably more to hold the battery, because when people do gaming, a lot of times when you're serious about it and you buy a headset for it, you're probably gaming a long time.
Yeah. I do dig the case they got for it, though.
That looks nice.
That's a throwback to the Brocky Dashes.
That one?
Oh, yeah.
Brocky, is that the one you really liked?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's who they bought. I don't remember.
They didn't buy Brocky Dash.
Oh, okay. They bought a audio company. I don't
Brocky remember Dash was. Became a software for earbuds company. So they're annoying as shit.
All right. Well, anyways, so I think the company doing the most interesting things in gaming right now is probably Sony, despite my initial attention being off of Sony when they did this. Second place would be Valve, because Valve built the Steam Deck and they're working on new things now. Apparently, Valve is building more hardware.
I don't know what I think about this thing right here. If you made it where those controller pieces could disconnect from it.
Well, I just want to point out that the company building the most hardware right now is Sony by a long shot. They've got the PlayStation 5, the PlayStation 5 Digital Edition. They got the PlayStation 5 Slim, the PlayStation 5 disc drive for the Slim. They've got the vertical stand, which whatever, I don't want to count that. They've got this remote play device, I'm trying to remember what it's called, the Portal, PlayStation Portal.
I bet they might make that actually.
They got a PSVR 2. They've got their own headset, their own head earbuds. Like, Sony has the most products on the market to give you the most choices on how you can play out of everybody right now.
They have for a while, though.
I'd say more recently, because they didn't, when they launched, it was the PS5 and the controller, and that was it.
No, they had the headset.
Well, yeah, I mean, they had a headset, yeah.
No, I'm just saying they still had their headsets.
But really, so did Xbox at launch, so that wasn't like distinguishing.
VR?
VR 1 works with the PS5. Okay, fair enough. PSVR 2 waited like 3 years to come out, dude. It did not come out with the PS5.
No. I'm just saying they had VR. They've had
VR their... did work with the PlayStation 4 and 5. The first VR worked with both.
You're talking about cool. Are you talking about purely with the next gen consoles for most hardware?
I'm talking just PS5, okay. Xbox Series, but you're not wrong because the PSVR 1 was backwards compatible with the PS5. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
You could use a PSVR 1.
I almost bought one at the time.
Because they're cheap. They're even cheaper now with the PSVR.
Yeah, I almost bought one because they got cheaper around that time frame. But
I will say the thing that Sony's lacking right now is good games, like good new games. They've got a few really, really good
games. Everyone's missing good new games. That's the
point. Whole industry has gotten lazy on gaming, the gaming software side.
It's disappointing. At least there's a new Dragon Age coming out.
Halo Infinite is finally a complete game to the extent that I like actually farther than I expected them to. I thought they were going to give up on it by now. But with season 5, it's actually a mostly complete game finally.
Chris, question. How would you, all right, given what we know about Nintendo now, and now that you're reminding me about this stupid thing that for remote play, what do you think the odds of Sony releasing an actual handheld might be if Nintendo really fumbles with the Switch 2?
I think we're more likely to see Xbox release a handheld.
Really?
Well, they've got it in their lineup for like when that leak they had a couple weeks ago.
But I'm saying lineup. Sony doing a rebrand of this stupid thing to come out with one that has actual
PlayStation native... portable.
Well, I'm just saying to have it where it actually has native play as well.
I think if anything, you'd get Android on this thing, like at most, and then Sony might give you like the back catalog of PSP, PS Vita on it.
I could see them going all digital on something like this, though. That's what I'm trying to say.
The question is, does it have onboard storage, and if so, how much? I don't think it does.
That would be a question. Well, that's what I'm saying. If they released a second one that allowed you to download games to it, the portable 2.
I think if anything, what we'll get on this, if we get anything on it, is this isn't even out yet. We got another month to go.
The thing has to have, it has to have something. Like, is that just
portable in the house?
Yeah,
it's an in-house portable. I think it might work on a cell connection, but I could be wrong about that.
That's where I'm like, how does it connect?
I think you could take it to hotels with you and hook up to Wi-Fi and remote play your PS5. So like that might be worthwhile.
Interesting. I don't know.
It depends on how
good the internet is. What if your PlayStation 5 is turned off at home?
No, that's the point. Because the consoles that you have right now have their standby modes where they're still connected to the internet and you can hook up that way. So like, just make sure your console is not set to turn off automatically.
Well, that thing does
keep your console off the green energy saving.
Yeah, that thing does check all the boxes for improved controller controls versus the Vita. So
maybe I won't disagree with you there. Pleasing. I think it looks weird as all get out. It's like, let's just smash the controller. The
issue is that you have to get used to the fact that it has a weird screen in the middle of two.
I will say though, like holding your hands out apart like this instead of together is more ergonomic. So like at least ergonomically, that's a more ergonomic controller for your arms.
Right. I mean, I wish it was a little bit more aesthetically pleasing. There's a way they could have revised the controller just a little bit, but to make it a little more tightly fitting to the screen.
It is odd.
Well, it's odd because it feels a little low on the screen too.
Well, I mean, any of the Switch controller mods that I've bought do the same thing though. Like it doesn't look much lower. Different. Yeah, the screen is lower into it. Yeah.
The screen is lower, or the controls are lower.
The controllers make the screen look like it's farther, closer to the ground.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? So, like the Hori Split Pad Pro that I have makes the screen look almost the same with this. So, anyways, long story short, I think that if they were going to launch a PSP and PS Vita service where you could buy digital games from the PS Vita and PSP era, this is the console to do it on.
Yeah.
And that'd be pretty neat if they did it, because Android can emulate PSP and PS Vita.
I would be willing to pick what I'm. Can you look up the specs on this thing? Because
they haven't really released the specs on it, to be honest with
they
you.
They haven't, because
not really.
I find it hard to believe it has no online storage. I feel like it has.
I mean, I'm sure it has a minimal storage on it, but the thing is, Sony does not want you to use it as like a jailbroken pirate device.
They should, though. They really should.
Anyways, is there anything else you want to say? Like I said, I think technically right now, with the removal of disk drive and everything Sony's bringing to market, they're the most interesting company right
now. How much is that VR headset these days?
$600.
I haven't looked.
It's very expensive.
The thing is, it's still pretty freaking cool.
I think it's like $600. Let me see if they have it on here. I thought the PSVR was like $600. Yeah, here we go. PSVR 2. I think it's more expensive than the PS5.
Well, maybe I buy this.
Oh, $549. Okay. $549.
Christmas, here I come. no, actually, I don't know.
But here you go. It does say you can earn $100 statement credit when you buy a PSVR 2 with their Visa credit card. So, you know, get another credit card.
No, thank you.
I don't even think they have these things as a used. I don't think there's a used market for this.
Is Horizon Zero Dawn actually compatible with this thing?
Controllers not included?
You kidding me?
What? Oh, the charging station. For the charging station.
Oh, okay.
I was like, no, there's no way. They're selling the VR.
Oh, yeah, too. I was going to say.
You and I were both thinking the same thing. No.
It's like, it's on the box, damn it.
It does look like they come with Horizon, though. That would be a beautiful game in VR, I'm not going to lie. Even though I hate the gameplay in that game. Although, maybe with VR would be better.
Maybe.
I might actually enjoy that game in VR.
Play that with VR.
Well, no, that's the West or whatever.
It's called. The West one, which I haven't played yet.
Horizon Forbidden West. Horizon. Oh my goodness, I can't even think. Zero Dawn, the Forbidden West or whatever. No. It's its own game. It's something. Rise of the Mountain.
Oh, it's a separate game for this. Okay, it's a VR game.
Call of the Mountain.
It was right below the whole time.
Yeah, I should have just looked at it. I don't know what I was thinking.
I mean. You get a game with it at least.
Yeah. I'm not one for VR, but if I was gonna play VR,
man.
Oh, look, Resident Evil Village.
Eve Valkyrie, look.
Oh, there's yours. VR.
Hells yeah. I actually pre-ordered the City Builder too.
City's VR. That's your game right there, even though it's not gonna look even any better.
No. With VR.
That's funny they put that one in VR, because you know that's not going to make a difference.
Some of these games look kind of cool. I wonder if Eve Valkyrie will play on it. It has to.
I have no idea.
There has to be.
Well, no. The thing is every game will play on the VR2. You can just use the VR2 as a screen.
Oh, I meant there's backwards compatibility for those games, right? So none?
No. Wait, VR2 is not compatible with the previous VR.
God damn it. For real?
It's because they changed too much. Yeah, they literally.
So I can't play Eve Valkyrie?
If that's on the VR1, no.
Fuck.
All right. Anyways, is there anything else we want to talk about? I am very curious to see what Nintendo does with the Switch 2. If they remove backwards compatibility, I ain't buying it. In fact, the only console I'm willing to buy this generation right now is probably the PS5 Slim at some point. That's it.
Just wait. You'll eventually hear that there's going to be an Infamous 2. And you, not Infamous 2. I mean, there's going to be an Infamous 2.
Dude, I would be on board with just an Infamous collection.
I'd be pretty happy with that too.
If they just remastered or, you know, did something with the Infamous
Second collection. Son is better than people gave it credit for.
I platinumed that one. I platinumed Infamous 2. I platinumed Infamous, whatever the weird vampire game was.
Halloween thing.
Yeah. And I also platinumed the only one I haven't, the only two I haven't platinumed yet are First Light, which is actually really good. Have you played it?
Yeah.
And I have not platinumed the original Infamous because of the shard collecting. I just I haven't gotten
around to it. Shard collecting got annoying. I'm not gonna lie.
And with number two, you could like, you know, track down each shard with like a it was like blipping on the map, like doo, 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 and you could find everything. Whereas with Infamous one, you have to like write down every shard you collect throughout the game.
It's
so painful.
It was a very painful game. I'm not gonna lie.
But it's, in my opinion, has the best story of all three.
Yeah.
Maybe First Light would be up there too.
The game was just very compelling. I wish,
and it wasn't too long either.
I wish they would just come out with another IP like that.
Yeah, like back in the day, my two favorite games of the seventh gen, other than Halo 3, which you can't compete with that one. That one was amazing. Infamous 1 and Dead Rising. Those are my favorites.
I can't believe you dropped that Nintendo news on me cold though, like this. That. I was pretty upset.
So. That's why I was saying this is going to be a clip. It has to be a clip.
I would be good with all the kill zones being remastered. Honestly, anything from the PS2, PS3 era, I would be happy if they just remastered.
I'm looking at my shelf and I'm wondering if there's anything I would want remastered besides Infamous.
Dude, there's plenty of games.
Yeah, but some of them have already been, like God of War 3 has already got remastered.
Okay, it's not necessarily that I even want to remaster some of those games. I want them to just
make
a new game in that universe. Yeah, like Bad Company. Can we please get Bad Company 3? Why does EA insist on not doing that?
We're not going to get back into EA and
Bad Company. I know. I'm just saying. All right. It's a question that.
Well, Andrew, we're an hour and 20 minutes in.
I know. I'm good with calling it.
All right. So. Where do you rank the three companies then? Because I already gave you my ranks. I got PlayStation, and then Xbox and Nintendo are kind of tied until I know whether the Switch 2 will have backwards compatibility.
Okay. I'm going to say Sony's obviously number one. I think, as much as I hate it, at least Microsoft's honest, right?
They're honest about what they're doing, yeah.
They're honest about what they're doing, and... At least with Game Pass, they want to give you access.
And they're launching new games. They're actually making new games.
Yeah.
New franchises. Yeah. Even though some of them have sucked, at least they're doing it.
I'll give them some credit. I'll give Microsoft some credit here. With Game Pass, you'll still have access to the games. You just have to be a subscription farm animal for the rest of your life. Now, Nintendo, if they really do not make that is compatible with Switch games, I swear to God, everything I thought about Nintendo prior to the Switch will hold so true, and it'll just reinforce why I stopped buying after the Game Boy Advance. And I was a kid, and I got so pissed. I'm just saying, like, if they literally do that again to a whole nother generation of young kids, can you imagine how bad that is for their brand? I'm just saying, like, that's terrible. And Nintendo's policy is to just destroy your old games and sell them to you brand new.
Yep.
So I have to rank them bottom bitch status for Nintendo.
Fair enough.
And they're not creative. They're not coming out with new games. They're just trying to sell me the same thing. Like I said 2 weeks ago, I know every single game I will buy for Nintendo console before I buy the console.
Andrew, I will literally make a short of your head imploding if the Switch 2 has no backwards compatibility.
You'll get a 10-minute rant out of me, that's for sure.
I'll grab that clip of you flipping out from this podcast and make it into a short and have you explode. That's what I'll do. All right. Anyways, on that note, I think we both agree PlayStation is on top right now. Based on, honestly, the Slim, as much as everybody hates on it, movable disk drive does more for backwards compatibility than anything Xbox is currently
doing. The potential for what they can do with that, just by releasing a special edition disk drive, it's unreal, in my opinion. I don't think
there's so much
of it, but...
I like the idea going forward of modular consoles just in general. I think that's a great idea. Like, imagine if the next PlayStation 5 had like a modular VR connection that was wireless.
Mm-hmm.
Or like had a modular, even a modular hard drive add-on.
Right.
Or SSD, whatever you want it to be.
No, remember the Razer made that concept for a modular gaming PC?
Yeah.
That was a dope concept, not going to lie. But
there's so many things you could do. Have a modular connection for a charging stand.
See, the beauty of it is, it, this is the PC Master Race thing. It allows you to slowly upgrade your console over time if you go modular, and it makes the sticker shock less painful for parents.
Imagine if you could swap out the
every
processor.
Component. Every processor. Component.
Yeah.
Every component.
I'm just saying, like, let's just say they release
one component a year.
Let's say they release a PS5 Pro modular attachment, boom, more GPU processing.
Mm-hmm.
How cool. I mean, I'm just saying there's so many options here. So I think PlayStation's on top. Xbox is releasing a trash can. And if Nintendo Switch gives us backwards compatibility, I will rank them above the Xbox.
Yeah.
Because the Xbox
temporarily
is going all digital.
Only temporarily, Chris.
I will never be a Game Pass subscriber. So I'm not buying any Xbox with no disc drive, period.
I have no desire to be a Game Pass.
The backwards compatibility of the Xbox Series X was what when at launch, PS5, Xbox Series X, and a Switch, mm-hmm. I would have put Xbox on top for their backwards compatibility program. Now that we're in 2023 and they're releasing it all digital, unless Nintendo Switch does the ultimate dick move and removes backwards compatibility, I am putting PlayStation top, Nintendo mid, Xbox bottom. If Nintendo does the backwards compatibility, kills it, they're on bottom for me for a while. I won't buy their stuff for a while.
Sounds like you'll be in the same position I used to be.
Like, I literally will.
You'll protest. You'll protest boycott Nintendo for a good long time.
Not that they're getting a lot of my money anyways, but HarperCollins is getting more of my money these days than any of the gaming companies.
I'm still upset at the entire concept, man.
Yeah.
I'm just upset at the concept that they would even consider not making the Switch 2 backwards compatible.
Hey, I want to just throw this out there. I'm going to put a community tab question out. But if anybody wants to see Andrew and I struggle through the Telltale Expanse series, let us know and we will do it. I would love to see Andrew play a Telltale game on his PS5, whatever he's going to stream it on. But let us know. Telltale Expanse. If you want to watch it, want to see us do it, whatever, you know, let us know. Maybe we'll get Will to struggle through it with us. All right. Mm-hmm. As always, I'm Chris.
And I'm Andrew.
And we will see you
on the next podcast
with brain aneurysms about Nintendo.
Yeah. I mean, hey, if you watch our printed and pressed episodes, you'll see us talking about a book next week. And if not, you'll have to wait 2 weeks for us to be back here.
For us to have another brain aneurysm about Nintendo.
Exactly.
Definitely go check us out on Printed and Pressed. youtube.com/@printedandpressed.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.